Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report. And joining us today is Frontier Extension District Adult Development and Aging and Family Resource Management Agent, Janae McNally. Good morning, Janae.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us today. It's been really fun is not the word for what it's been the past week with this weather, but hopefully you and everybody around you have been taking good care of themselves. And that kind of takes us into our topic. You can't take care of other folks unless you do take care of yourself. So tell us a little bit about caring for the caregiver.
You're right. Good morning. You know, I am currently teaching a class with Kathy Gal from the Meridazine Extension District called Powerful Tools for Caregivers. And it has really got me thinking about the things that the caregiver carries with them throughout the day, every day, as they're a caregiver. You know, hearing stories of current caregivers, the things they used to do and have given up now, you know, makes me really sad. And so I went and I found some tips from the National Institute for Caregiving and on how to take care of the caregiver themselves. As some already know and some are learning, taking care of yourself is one of the most important things we can do as a caregiver. For example, make sure you're eating healthy, being active, taking time for you. You know, dealing with the frustrations and sometimes often feeling guilt, especially caregiving from a distance, is likely to bring on many of those different emotions, both positive and negative. The feeling of frustration and anger with others maybe, from the care recipient to the doctors, is common experience. Anger could be a sign that you have maybe overwhelmed yourself or that you're trying to do too much. If you can, give yourself a break. Maybe it's take a walk, maybe visit with a friend, maybe get some sleep, or maybe even try to read a book, but try doing something for you that you enjoy. Although they may not feel as physically exhausted or drained as a primary hands-on caregiver, the long-distance caregiver may still be worried and anxious. Sometimes long-distance caregiving feels maybe guilt about not being closer, not doing enough, maybe not having enough time with that person that they want to spend time with. And maybe even sometimes a little bit of jealousy might come into play as well for who is getting to do that. Many long-distance caregivers also find that worrying about being able to afford to take time off of work and being away from their family or even the cost of travel as it's increased, you know, can help increase those frustrations that the caregiver might have. But again, remind yourself that you are doing the best you can given the circumstances that you're given, and you can only do what you can do from where you're at. It also helps to know that these are feelings shared by many other long-distance caregivers and that you're not alone in this. Have a friend or someone maybe involved in your community, whether it be a church or another organization that's doing that too. So maybe you partner up together and, you know, just have another sounding board when you need to talk. Consider joining a caregiver support group, either in your community or they even have some online. Meeting with other caregivers can relieve your sense of isolation and will give you a chance to exchange stories and ideas. Caregiving is not easy for everyone. Not for the caregiver and not for the care recipient. That's sometimes the hard one. There are sacrifices and adjustments for everyone. When you don't live where the care is needed, it may be especially hard to feel that what you are doing is enough and that what you're doing is important, but know that it is. If you're caring for someone, you know, and you may be with someone else, you might first try to define the caregiver responsibilities. So if you're close by and you're able to help do that kind of thing, you could start by setting up maybe a family meeting, if it makes sense, and include the care recipient in on that discussion. This is best done when there's no emergency on hand, you know, a calm conversation, and try to think about what kind of care is wanted and needed now. And also think about what might be needed in the future to help avoid some of that confusion. So maybe if mom and dad are needing this kind of care now, but we know with this sort of illness, they will need this later. How can we best handle all of that? Also decide who will be responsible for which task. Many families find the best first step is to name a primary caregiver if they don't already have one, which most usually do, but sometimes they don't. But that primary caregiver can step in if there's ever a crisis. And agree in advance how each of you and your efforts complements each other so that you can be the most effective team. Ideally, you will want to each take tasks that best suit your skills or interests. You'll want to consider your strengths when sharing caregiving responsibilities. Think about who should be responsible for what. Start with your strengths and what you enjoy doing with that loved one. Consider if you're particularly good at something and how those skills might help in that current situation. You know, maybe you're good at finding information and keeping people up to date on changes. Maybe that's through a text thread or an email thread or on the phone. Maybe that's your skill set. Maybe your strong suit is doing numbers. Maybe you're the one that's going to be paying the bills, track of bank statements, and reviewing insurance policies and reimbursement reports. Maybe you're the one in the family who can fix anything while others know the difference between pliers and a wrench. So if something goes wrong with the house or where they're staying, that's your job. You might also think about your limits when caring for others. When thinking about who should be responsible for what, consider your limits. And you might ask yourself, can you be calm and assertive when communicating from a distance? How often, both mentally and physically, can you afford that travel if you're helping care from afar? And are you emotionally prepared to take on what might feel like a reversal role between you and your parent? Sometimes that sandwich generation is really hard when maybe you still have kids at home, but your parents also need you, or maybe your grandkids also need you. So be realistic about those kinds of things when you're sitting at that family meeting. Be realistic about what you can and are willing to do. Think about your schedule and how it might adapt to give respite care to a primary caregiver. For example, you might want to try to coordinate holidays or vacation times with that person, and remember that over time, responsibilities, they need to be revised to reflect the change in the situation. Your care recipient needs and each family member's abilities and limitations. You know, all of our lives are constantly changing, but it's, again, having good communication and making sure that you are at your best self, because if we don't take care of ourselves, then we cannot help others. If anyone would like more information on this, I'm currently teaching it, Powerful Tools for Caregivers in the Meredithine District with Kathy, but we will be offering that here in the Frontier District next year. So, as always, feel free to reach out to me at the Frontier Extension District office at 785-828-4438.
Much appreciated. Look out for others, enlist help, and do take some time for yourself so you can recharge. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the information and look forward to talking to you again. Coming up tomorrow morning at 6:40, Meredithine Extension District 4-H Agent Carla Hightower.